listened to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Can I just see you very briefly? Who's back from holiday? Had a good holiday, back in church for the first time? Fantastic. It's good to have you all here. Hope you had a good rest and a good holiday. Spend some time with the people you love. And I think Ansi said at the beginning, but as of next week, we'll have 6 o'clock services again. I think the varsity's one started last week, another one starts tomorrow. So we should be back to full tallig next week, with people obviously still making their way back. But it's exciting to have you back. And if you're here for the first time, and maybe you came in a little bit late and you didn't get a welcome pack, please join us afterwards. There's an info table. You can ask some questions, and we'd love to get to know you a little bit better. There'll be coffee and tea, cake, some other things that you can... I hope there's cake, so I can have some cake with you, which we can enjoy together. Just in case maybe you've missed it because you've been on holiday and you've switched off a little bit, be honest, who switches off on holiday? It's just like the world doesn't happen anymore. And then all of a sudden you come back after your holiday, and us working people, I can see some of you are sitting, what's a holiday and how do you eat it? But for those of you students, you're back. You know, sometimes you come back after a holiday and, oh, we've got a new president. How did that happen? You know, I remember when I was a kid, we've got a family farm up in the Eastern Transvaal. Nowadays with cell phones, it's a little bit different, but before cell phones, I mean, who here is older than cell phones? Who remembers a day or time, a place where you were there and there wasn't a thing like a cell phone? How did you go to the movies before there was a cell phone? I mean, where did you meet your friend? You know, where are you SMS in the queue getting a Coke? WhatsApp, whatever. Now you're going to meet the guy there. 3:30. It's 22. Is he still coming, girls? You know? Maybe, or guy, she's still coming. I don't, wait, what's going on? 15 minutes later, that was normal. But anyway, I remember we were, I'm totally off topic now, but it's okay. And we were at this farm near Hoedspruit, and there's no electricity, no power, no nothing. And we go there for 2 or 3 weeks at a time. And we'd literally come back not having a clue what's going on in the world. We'd sit there at times driving back in the car and speculating on what do we think happened in the time we were gone. Because literally we had zero contact with the outside world. 3 weeks you'd be like isolated on this little place where there's no one, nothing. You've got no clue what's going on with anybody. 4 boys coming back. Maybe there's a nuclear war somewhere. You know, maybe there's this big thing or that big thing. But some of you have been like that when you're on holiday. And you've missed totally that we've got a really cool camp coming up next week. And I want to encourage you tonight still, if you haven't, then please do so tonight because we need to get the final details to the campsite. Just put your name down and at the info table. Next Friday we're starting. Someone emailed me in the week. He said he put in leave for the camp. I said, what did he put in leave? He doesn't know if he's coming on the camp because he's waiting for his leave to be approved. I said, why did he put leave in? He says, no, because the camp starts on Friday. I said, I appreciate the enthusiasm. And it would be really cool, but unfortunately the camp only starts on Friday evening after work. So all of you can drive through. It's about 45-minute drive, but he said, no, it's cool. He's going to loaf for the day anyway. You know, have his holiday, switch off, forget what's going on in the world. We'll leave on Friday, arrive Friday evening, come back Sunday during the day, and then we're going to have just 2 kick-ass services here. Bring all your friends and just go crazy for Jesus again. But I just wanted to remind you of that. So please remember about the camp. If you haven't registered, those who have registered and you're wondering, where is it? What are we doing? What must I bring? We'll send you guys all emails. Everyone who's registered tomorrow, we'll send you all of those emails. But just a little bit about the camp and why it's so important, and it's going to tie in with what I'm saying. There's a couple of years, about a year and a half ago, God spoke to us as leadership. And he said, you know, he wants his church to be a family. Was a little bit of a hard word from the Lord, but God, you're not a family. And God's been showing us what a family looks like, what his family looks like, and he's speaking to us just about some biblical principles about family. what family should be, how family should operate. And the last couple of months, we've been speaking about just making our house a home. Because you all know there's a difference between a house and a home. A house has to do with the bricks and the mortar. A house has to do with, there are a whole bunch of people coming here. But a home is the place where we celebrate and where we welcome. The place where we belong, the place where we can switch off. But the place where we have responsibility as well. The place where we get to enjoy, we can laze in front of the couch, on the couch, in front of the couch as well. But on the couch, in front of the TV. But we also need to wash the dishes and mow the lawn. You know, a house, a home has got both sides to that coin. And the last couple of months, just amongst us in small group leaders and the leaders in church, we've been speaking about how do we make this house a home. And in camp, we're just going to carry on with that discussion and then take it a little bit further and say, okay, but how are we meant to relate to our brothers and sisters in this family? And we're going to begin to talk through those and workshop it together and get everyone input and talk together and pray together and seek the Lord's face a little bit together about that. And the end of the message tonight, we're going to come back to that. But I just want to really say that from my side, it's so important that as many of us as possible are on this camp. I know a whole bunch of you registered already, and it's really cool seeing all of you guys register early for a change. It's a miracle in itself. Well done. We serve a living God. He can make people register more than a week before the camp starts. But if you can make it, or even if you can just drive through for the Saturday to come and join us, have a whole bunch of fun together. I know some of you are thinking, rugby, camp, Sharks, Stormers, camp. How are we going to do this? We'll make a plan. Don't worry. But it'll be fantastic for you to be there. And as we've been talking about this family thing this last couple of while, what is up with my English tonight? This last couple of months, as we've been speaking about family, God's been speaking to us just a little bit, specifically here in Pretoria, around obedience. And bringing obedience to the place where we, one of my favorite songs at the moment, chorus just goes, it'll be my joy to say your will, your way. Just an understanding that it's our delight, it's our joy, that it's not a heavy thing to be obedient. Some of us have got such a negative connotation about obedience. We see obedience as this evil man standing there with the ruler slapping us on our fingers if we don't obey, because he has now said so we must obey, and he's just cross angry. But God has just been speaking to us about the purity of obedience, our heart leaning towards him. A couple of weeks ago, months ago by now, it was in Centurion Service and some other places, spoke a little bit about God's love language. Just for a quick recap for those who weren't there, but God's love language is pretty simple. It's obedience. What does that mean? It means the way that God experiences love from us is through our obedience towards him. There's stacks of scriptures around that. Just some of us, it's a weird concept, but John 14:15 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14:21, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. 1 John 2:3-6 says, now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him, and by this we know that we are in him. He who says you abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In 1 John 5 again, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God, keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Just a couple of verses for those of you maybe who've missed this a little bit. Maybe you're visiting this evening or you happen to miss these one or two services where we spoke about this. But God has got such an incredibly benevolent heart towards us. He's got a heart towards us that is just so huge. He just wants the absolute best for us. Did a wedding yesterday. Read from Psalm 1:1. The same principle. It says, blessed is the man who's obedient to the purposes of God. It says, not the man who listens to the counsel of the ungodly and sits in the path of sinners and scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers. He will bear fruit in its season, even in his old age. beautiful promise that God gives to those who delight themselves in His law. It's so sad to me that, and I understand a large part of where it comes from, that there's a movement in church today that wants to say everything that has to do with God and law is bad. You know, the law is old. Throw the law away. We're not meant to have law. And I understand that sentiment, that there's a lot of truth to it, that Jesus has wiped out the handwriting of requirements. There isn't a whole bunch of stuff we need to do to be found acceptable to God. In that sense, the law is gone. But there's something else that God would have in the heart of believers, a heart that loves obeying. A heart that doesn't find it hard when God speaks to do what God says. A heart who knows that God's commandments are not burdensome, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. And we've been speaking about that for a couple of weeks, and then 2 or 3 weeks ago I took it a step further, and that obviously speaks about obedience to God's ways, that which we know and understand from Scripture. A couple of weeks ago we expanded on that thought, and we started speaking about what I call prophetic obedience. Because there's obedience where we obey the Ten Commandments, as an example. Obedience where we obey that I must love my neighbor, which is a commandment. It's interesting, God doesn't often give suggestions. I don't know if you've noticed that. God doesn't give advice. God doesn't give counsel. He uses a beautiful word for what He tells us, commandments. He says a new commandment He gives unto us, that we love one another. And then to His disciples, just before they're leaving, He says, and these things I command you, lo, that you love one another. God gives us these commandments, which obviously are applicable to us, commandments from Scripture, which are easy to understand, God's ways. But then there's a different type of obedience to God. Not necessarily obedience only to the written Word of God, but obedience to the living Word of God, the spoken Word of God, the inspired Word of God, the rhema Word of God, to use the Greek. And that's a little bit different, because sometimes it's a little bit confusing. We don't quite know what God is doing. We spoke there, used some examples of Joshua going to Jericho. He's got all his armies, men of war, ready to go make war. He says, guys, I've got the most incredible strategy for this war. God spoke to me last night. These Jericho guys, they're going to feel like the English cricket team. They don't know what hit them. You know, they're going to be all excited just after the first day. They think they're rolling us. Wait till we get a turn to play. Last time I checked, Hashem Amala was on 310 or something. Just whacking them all over the park. God says to them, I've got a plan. I've got a strategy. And you can imagine the men of war say, oh, we know the strategy. I've got my rope. I'm going to throw it over the wall. We're going to climb over the wall. I'm going to go on the inside. We've all seen the movies. Kick the door down to the city, and then you guys are going to run in and trample and take over, and we're going to have like a war movie made here. And Josh says, no, God's got a different plan. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to get some priests and give them shofars, and then we're going to take the presence of God. We're going to take the Ark of the Covenant, and we'll put some guys with swords in the front just to keep their hearts a little bit safer. And then for 6 days, in complete silence, we're going to walk around the city. And the seventh day, we're going to walk around it 6 times in silence. And the seventh time, on the seventh day that we walk around it, we're all going to shout at the same time, and then it's going to be game over. You can imagine the generals. Huh? But sometimes God speaks to us in that way, and we call that prophetic obedience, situational obedience. Obedience to what God is telling me in this moment, which I can search Scripture over and over and over again, but nowhere in the Levitical law does it tell Joshua how to take Jericho. And then many times we're faced with situations in our life where we really need to know what God is saying. There's only one problem. There's no chapter and verse in the Bible that answers my question. Lord, I need to know what course to go in. God, must I take this job? God, should I marry this woman? God, what should I call my child? Lord, should I move into a different city? There's no rule that's going to be the same answer to you and me. Some people like to think that God always gives the same people the same answer in every situation. It's one simple example that illustrates that it can't possibly be so. Two friends walk into church, start serving Jesus, following God. There happens to be a beautiful young girl in the same church. And after a while, they both start liking this girl, start showing an interest in the girl, and they start praying, saying, God, is this the woman that you have for me, God? Is this the woman that I'm going to marry one day? Obviously, God can't give them unless the answer is no, but He can't both give them both the answer yes. For the one, at least one, it could be one no for both of them, but for at least one of them, it's no. It can only be yes to one of them at most. Simple example of God not always giving us the same answer to the same people in the same situation. Identical situation, God telling me something completely different. I love Abraham's prophetic obedience. God comes and speaks to him. This was way before there was any written law, anything. And God says, I know you're 90 years old, and I know you've wanted a son for a heck of a long time, and you finally got the son, and I gave him to you, but now give him back to me. And I love something in that passage which says in some of the translations, early the next morning. God speaks to him at night, and the very next morning he gets up and he goes and does what God's called him to do. He doesn't put it off. He doesn't wait. God, I think maybe I'm hearing you wrong. Let me just clarify, Lord. God, I fast about it for 3 days. There's something in his heart which understands that God's commandments are not burdensome. God has spoken, and he gets up, and he just does exactly that. We see the same here in 1 Samuel 15. God's spoken clearly to Samuel. He's told Samuel to do some incredibly politically incorrect things and just wipe out a whole nation. Samuel thinks he's clever and he knows a little bit better to God. Not Samuel, sorry. King Saul. Samuel comes to Saul and says, why haven't you listened to God? Saul says, I did everything God said, except he didn't have a clue what God said. And then Samuel answers him and says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of lambs. Sometimes this prophetic word is a word that we read in Scripture that's illuminated. In other words, we're reading the Bible, or you wake up and God just says, I want you to go and read that verse, or the Holy Spirit just reminds you of a verse that comes to your mind. And you know that's God speaking into that very situation. I remember one example. Some of the old Seven Alarm people who remember Frank Reutenbach. Anyone remember him? Can I be honest now? All you sinners. Huh? Tian from Seven Alarm, I think was his name. And he came and spoke in Shofar and Stellenbosch when I was a student. And I remember him getting up and sharing a bit of his testimony of how he came to know Christ. And he had a plan that he was going to study, and then he was going to go to London for a year, like a whole bunch of other South Africans. And he wanted to work and make a whole bunch of money and come back. He's praying about it, and he opens his Bible, and he reads from the NIV, and I think it's in 3 John or something like that. It says, or 1 John 3, I can't remember the exact verse reference, but he opens his Bible and he reads, do not say, I will go to such and such, such a city. Stay there and trade, make a profit, and then come back. You think maybe he got an answer? Obviously, for some other people, God has said, I want you to go to London. I want you to go and experience something, do something. But for him, it was very clear. God spoke from the Word. Obviously, that verse wasn't written only with Frank in mind when God wrote it. But God knew Frank was going to be in that situation 2,000 years later. And he knew that he was going to use that to speak to him. And sometimes God speaks to us that way. This evening I'm wanting us just to focus a little bit. And we're slowing down, for those of you who have been around, just making sure everyone's on the same page in terms of what God's saying to us and where we're going. But it's important for us that if we're going to understand prophetic obedience in any way, there's an important question there. It says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And the big question which many of us sit with, even those of us who've been serving God for a long time, is what is the voice of the Lord saying in this situation? How do I hear the voice of the Lord? This evening I'm wanting us to take a little bit of time and just look at some principles around hearing the voice of God. We could speak forever about the voice of God. We could really talk over and over about what is God saying, what is God not saying, and the power in His voice and the way He speaks and His Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And His Word, as we read in Proverbs 24, incline your ear to my saying, because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. It carries on and on. God speaking to Joshua, and He says, Joshua, meditate in my word day and night. Do not let them depart from your mouth, for then you will have good success. Just the power of the word of God. His word which does not return void, but it accomplishes the very purpose for which God has sent you. So we're not going to go that route. I'm assuming we all understand why it's important to hear God's voice. The power and the beauty in hearing His voice. I just wanted to give us some practical tips in terms of how do I hear His voice? How do I know it's God speaking? And once again, it's impossible to give an exhaustive thing. But I'm wanting just to give some things to prime your spirits, to send you back home with some questions that you can go to God with and wrestle with God and learn to hear God's voice. The best way to learn to hear God's voice is to wrestle with Him, to hear His voice. I remember when I was a young Christian, our pastor shared it. I think it was at Bible school. He said when he first met his wife, he'd walk into a big room and sometimes she'd, maybe different example, she'd phone him. It'd take him a couple of seconds to this girl who just happened to be another random girl talking on the telephone. I'd hear the voice, identify the voice, and know who this voice belongs to. A couple of years later, at that stage, I'd been married for like 20 or 30 years. Walk in to a busy room. Whole bunch of people talking everywhere, but immediately he could pick out his wife's voice. Because his ear had learnt to hear. All the ladies were like, oh. His voice has been tuned into, his ear has been tuned into the voice of God. And I want to encourage with you with that. Some of you are young believers and you struggle to hear the word of God. You struggle to identify when is it His voice, when is it just me, when is it somebody else's opinion. And I say to you, just rest in that. You will learn and continue to grow as you in hearing God's voice. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Then God said. I love that the first thing we see God doing, apart from God being there, is God speaking. Then God said, and as God speaks, stuff begins to happen. The Holy Spirit moves into action and He does whatever the Father commands. I want to tell you this evening, God hasn't changed. He's still the God who speaks. He's still the God who day in and day out speaks to us. And I love sometimes meeting with people who I know are atheists. Why do you do that? Because God said, you're a freak. You think that you hear voices in your head. Yes, I know I serve a living God and He still speaks. And if you'll give Him a chance, He'll speak to you too. John 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them from my hand. My Father has given them to me as greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. God speaks and God wants to speak to you. And if you're a follower of Christ today, you can hear His voice. The only thing that you need to do more than dial into the voice of God is dial out of the other voices. So often there's so many other voices, this boyfriend and this girlfriend and this ex and this mom and this dad and this TV program and this book that I read. All of it confusing what God's trying to say to us. And a skill more that we need to learn more than hearing God is paying less attention to not God. Because God speaks to us. I remember in my first year of VOSP, I just got saved, just come to know Christ. And there was a hardcore member who was passionate for Jesus and opened doors for the kingdom into the residence. Walked a little bit of a road with me and one day he just said to me, Philip, don't put your trust in God's ability. Sorry, everyone. Don't put your trust in your ability to follow, or in this case, listen to God. Put your trust in God's ability to lead, or in this case, speak to you. God is good enough to speak to you. It doesn't matter how deaf you are. He's a good teacher. To me, one of the definitions of a good teacher is a good teacher can do wonders with a bad student. And you and I, most of the time, we're pretty bad students. But God is a good teacher. Don't put your trust in your ability to hear His voice. Put your trust in God's ability to speak to you. God's desire to want to speak to you. He still speaks today. And if you're a child of God, if you know God, you can hear His voice. Second thing about His word, it's usually not all that spectacular. 1 Kings says, then he said, God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. A great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Most of the time when God speaks, it's really not that spectacular. It's profound, and it's important, and it's powerful, but it's not spectacular. Sometimes it is. Sometimes there's that Damascus experience. Sometimes it's an experience where Paul's riding on his donkey on the way to Damascus, and God appears powerfully, rips him off the horse, he falls, the donkey, whatever it was, falls on the ground, he gets blinded, he sees Jesus, he says, Saul, what are you doing? Saul looks, who are you? I am Jesus, and you are persecuting. Sorry. Obviously, there are those moments where God speaks spectacularly. But the vast majority of time when God speaks, it's just that still small voice. That moment in your quiet time where suddenly everything snaps into perspective. That moment where you're reading the word and clarity comes and, oh God, I really don't want to do it that. I know you don't, but do it. Because God has spoken. When you're driving and not even thinking of it, and suddenly there's a voice of God speaking. It's normally not that spectacular. Sometimes we're sitting there and we're waiting. We've got relationship week coming up in a month or so's time. We're the single people. Anyone excited about that? Whoa, shucks. No wonder you're still single, but it's okay. And this year for the married people, we've got a wonderful married couple. So much respect for them. They've got four beautiful kids who are all adult, my age, and a little bit older and a little bit younger, serving the Lord passionately. And that to me is the best witness of a parent, is when the kids serve the Lord. And they're coming down. They stay up in Tzanin at the moment, or in Heinitzburg, beautiful enclave there. They're coming down for the first weekend of Relationship Week, and they're going to, on the Sunday morning, we're going to have a special service for the married folk, and they're just going to speak to the married people and engaged couples as well. You're welcome to join us. Just talk a little bit into any evil that can throw into our marriages. And then the evening, they'll be ministering to the singles. So, ladies, start thinking now which guy you're going to pray for who must be there. Guys, start thinking of inviting a girl to church, and it just happens to be a relationship week. She doesn't know this. How is she going to know it's relationship week? But it's a good excuse to invite her. How did I get on that point? Oh, one of the questions when it comes to relationships, the question that we hear most, that I hear most often, there are a whole bunch of questions, but the one most often, people come knock on my door, phone me, SMS me. How do I know this is the one? You know, we've been going out and I'm thinking of getting married, but should I, shouldn't I? Remember a couple of years ago, a girl came and knocked on my door. Listen, I need to speak. Why? Now I'm going away for the weekend and I know he's going to ask me to marry him. How do I know? Must I say yes? Mustn't I say yes? You know, those questions that we wrestle with, we sit with in our hearts. Not you yet, but you will. And most of the time, the answer to that question is not so spectacular. Anyone who's married, you can say amen to that. Most of the time, obviously, if you've covered all the other bases, it's a simple question. Do you want to marry him? Because if you say yes, then probably God says yes if it comes to that stage. What are your friends and the people around you saying, not saying? And the big thing that the guys or the girls, they come and they're waiting for the angels to appear and say yes. But one angel isn't enough either. It must be three angels on consecutive nights. And it must be the exact ring that the angel shows them so they know that this is the guy. And the reality is the vast majority of, there are the people who have those experiences. The vast majority of us, you know, for me and Yanetta, it wasn't, I don't know what God said to her so much. I know God spoke to her, but he had to get her to say yes to me. But it wasn't this life-shattering moment. The earth opened, the voice comes down, marry her. You know. It was just, I just had peace in my heart. This is what God is saying. There's nothing in my heart telling me no. And so often we're waiting for the spectacular answer from heaven. And God is speaking. It's just not good enough because we're waiting for the big answer. Most of the time when God speaks, it's not so spectacular at all. And I love how this picture illustrates it. All this activity, all of the stuff going on, once all of that is quieted down, God speaks. It's one of the important times where we need to have quiet time, which as an aside, shouldn't be all that quiet. You actually need to be speaking to God in your quiet time and allowing God to speak to you. And one of the reasons we need to take time away, close the door, go for a walk, is we need to just quiet those other voices so we can hear this unspectacular voice of God speak His word into our hearts. And by saying unspectacular, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying what God's, the content isn't spectacular. I'm saying its presentation isn't always so spectacular. The way in which God appears and the way in which He speaks to us. Third point, most of the time when He speaks to us, it's based on what He's already said to us. Either He said to us in His Word, one of the reasons why it's so important for us to know His Word, study His Word, get to Bible school. We need to know the Word of God. John 14 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. Jesus has been speaking to His disciples, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And what will He do? He's not going to tell you new things. He's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've already said to you. So often the Holy Spirit, I love those moments when the Holy Spirit reminds me of something I heard 7 or 8 years ago in a sermon somewhere. Sometimes we sit, I don't know if you guys have ever did this, when I was a student, we had 2, sometimes 3 services on a Sunday, and I'd be at most of them, if not all of them on a Sunday, just serving and working. Just, I enjoyed it. I always loved being in the house of God. God just did something in my heart, just supernaturally when I got saved, just to enjoy being in His courts. And I loved being in the house of God. And then I realized, you know, after 6 years, 7 years before I left that church, let's say I'm in church because there's holidays and stuff in between. Let's say I was in church 40 Sundays in a week. My weeks are incredibly long. 40 Sundays in a year. 2 services on a Sunday. It's 80 services a year. Times by 7 years, and you know, all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of sermons under your belt. All of a sudden, there's a lot of the Word of God planted and built into you. And I love and thank God for those moments. Those times still today where I'm in a situation and God reminds me something from a sermon way back then. Just having the Word ingrained, sitting under the teaching of the Word of God. But God speaks to us through what He's already said. And not everyone always gets it, unfortunately. Matthew 13 says, the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, why are you speaking to the guys in parables? Why don't you just tell them what you want to say? I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you shall not understand. And seeing, you will see and not perceive. The hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Not everybody is going to understand what God is saying to you. So thankful for Michal's offering. I just want to throw this in there. Speaking about counsel and the wisdom in counsel. Everyone isn't going to get it, but you better not be the only one hearing it. Maybe if you're the only person hearing that, maybe you're the one that's wrong and everybody else is not wrong in this situation. Too often we think we're the only one who can hear the voice of God. God is speaking to me. Everybody else is deceived. I am the only one who has the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we don't say that out loud, but that's actually what's going on. Be very circumspect when you hear the voice of the Lord, but nobody around you is hearing the same thing. The people who you know, the people in your small group, the people who you trust, the people who are praying with you, if they're not hearing the same as you, you need to pause and go back to God. You need to say, God, something isn't right here. But on the flip side of that, don't expect everybody to hear what you're hearing, because they can't. There are too many people, and call themselves Christians, who just have no ability to hear the voice of the Lord. Because we're so stuck in our mindset, our worldviews, our tradition. Scripture says the one thing that can nullify the commandment of God is our traditions. And so many of us are still stuck in that, and we need sometimes to walk away from that to hear the voice of God. But God says there are people who are not going to hear His voice. They see it all, they hear it all, they read it all, but they don't hear it. It's like there's this disconnect. The information is coming to the ears and to the eyes, but for some reason, it's not making sense. They're just not hearing what God is saying. And you need to make a peace with that everyone isn't always going to hear what you're saying. And everyone is definitely not always going to hear what God is saying. But I want to just, the flip side of that coin is what Michal spoke about in the offering. You can't be the only one. Make sure that there's a witness of the people around. And Scripture says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, anything is confirmed. Now that isn't necessarily getting it in this context, but I think it's a good principle. Make sure that there are a couple of people around you who agree about the important decisions in your life. On that point, you know, for those of you who've been around, you'll know we've got we're quite strong about it and firm about our small groups. That our small groups isn't a place for teaching. The last thing we want is a small group facilitator who's gone and worked out their little revelation of the week and gets his six or seven people around and now teaches his revelation to these six or seven people. That's not what we're after. What are we wanting to do in small groups? We're wanting to help people to hear the word of the Lord. We're wanting to help people not to get another teaching, more information. Maybe something that I should have said right at the beginning. Whether you're studying Scripture or listening for the Word of the Lord, why you're reading and why you're listening is going to determine what you get out of it. Too many Christians today are studying Scripture and wanting to hear the Word of God because we're looking for knowledge. God's never called us to have knowledge. Knowledge isn't unimportant. I'm not saying shun knowledge. It's important to be at Bible school. It's important to have biblical knowledge. But we shouldn't be looking for knowledge. We should be looking for wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. There's a difference between the two. In other words, what does it mean? It means I'm not reading the Bible because I want to learn something new. I'm reading the Bible because I want God to speak to me. I want an instruction. I want direction. I want to know what God is saying at this moment in time, in this situation, over this person. I'm studying Scripture not because I want to have another fact I can post on Facebook or another revelation I can post on Facebook. I'm studying Scripture because I want to hear what Jesus is saying today. If He were to walk into my life and look at me in the eye and say, what is He going to say to me? That's why we're studying Scripture. That's why we should be listening to the voice of God. And way too few Christians have learned that skill to tune out our academic brains when we're studying Scripture and to tune into the relationship with Jesus Christ and to ask, God, what are You saying to me? God, this relationship, I'm struggling with this relationship. You know, you don't need another fact to solve the relationship. You need wisdom. You need to hear what the Holy Spirit is breathing over that situation. Say this. God, I'm going to go and I'm going to say this. No, you're not going to say that. A soft word turns away wrath. I want you rather to come in a spirit of humility. But I know. Let's wrestle that out. Let's get that pride out of you. And you vent to me. And then you go in humility and you serve that person with the love of Christ. And as we come to God seeking instruction, we're going to hear Him speaking differently to when we're coming seeking information. And in our small groups, what do we want? We want to help people come to a place where we can seek instruction and guidance from the Lord, not information. You know, the last thing that any Christian who's semi-involved in any modern church needs is another teaching. We get a gazillion teachings. You're getting a teaching right now. You're going to pick up your book when you get home and you're going to get a teaching. Then you're going to tune into whatever or pop the DVD in and you're going to get another teaching. And we hear all of these teachings, which isn't necessarily all bad. But so few of us have neglected just to learn how to say, okay, God, so what does that mean? So what are you saying? And we're a little bit seeing, we don't see. We don't see on that side because we can't see. Look on this side, brother. Still not much better. Sorry about that. Seeing, we don't see. Hearing, we don't hear. What do we want to do in small groups? What are we going to do on the camp a little bit? We're going to stop, slow it down. Wednesday night, we come together and say, okay. Not how did Philip illustrate this or that. What is God saying to you? How does this apply to, are you struggling to hear the word of the Lord? What are you struggling with? Why are you struggling? Was there something in this message that God showed you that you need to pay attention to, that you need to change, that you need to adjust, that you need to lay a hold of, that you need to change your mindset around? In other words, let's slow down around the word of God and actually listen to what God is saying, rather than just hear another speech after speech after speech about God. That's what our small groups are all about, is coming together and learning to hear what is God saying. Not another teaching, more information. What is God saying? The fifth point, when God speaks to us, He speaks to the church. Revelation 2 verse 7, He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Something that so many of us miss what God is saying to us because we miss this principle. That God comes and God speaks to His church. The word to us as the church family at the moment is pretty simple. He's saying to us, I want you to be a family. You weren't a family, you're slowly becoming a family. I want you to be a family. And that means that everything that God says to you and to me, He says to us in context of what He's saying to the church. And I want to encourage you, if you're in this church, especially if you're in leadership in this church, I don't expect you to be in church every single Sunday. Have a holiday, go away, have time with friends, go away for the odd weekend, not every Sunday, but you know, it's healthy to not be here some Sundays. But those Sundays that you can't be here, make a point of still getting the message. Going onto the website, Delaney's brilliant, just uploading it for us really quickly, normally on a Monday morning already. Download it and say, okay, God, what are you saying to the church? In other words, Wednesday night when I get to the small group, I know a little bit what God's saying to the church, because I can only understand what God's saying to you or to me once I understand what God's saying to the church. And so many Christians, to me it's, you know, just been meditating over and over those verses where Scripture says God comes and He looks out over Jerusalem. Jews, pure hearts, loving God, many of them. And He had compassion. He was moved with compassion. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep not having a shepherd. Breaks my heart how many Christians today fall into exactly the same category. Weary and scattered because they're like sheep not having a shepherd. They haven't come to an understanding of the way God works and in this context speaks in and through church. And we come together and God speaks. It doesn't matter which palooka standing up here. It's not about the palooka standing up here. It's about the God who is speaking to us. And you guys are going to sit in small group on Wednesday. You guys have experienced this 100 times, many of you. You're going to sit there And what God said to this one is completely different to what God said to that one, exactly the same message. It's not that they listened to different messages, just different elements of the message. That was God speaking to them. You know, one of the guys and girls in church, I'm sure they won't mind me using this example. If they do, I'll say sorry later. But getting married, looking at buying, renting a house. What's a place called? Palmyra. So last Sunday, wrestling with this, saying, God, it's actually a really cool story, so that's don't mind saying. God, I really want you to speak to me, to tell me that this is the right place you have for us. They're looking to rent now for a while. And once they get married, obviously not moving in together yet, because that would be just not work anyway. And driving to church. God, please, just a scripture to me. Doesn't normally do this apparently, but God, just can I have a scripture tonight using just what two words in the same sentence? Palm and house. First verse I read last week. I can't even remember how, but Psalm 92, was it? I think. Who's got a notepad? Wrote notes last week. Right? What? Psalm 92 verse 15 or something. 12 to 15. Guess which two words occur right there? Speaking about a palm tree, speaking about a house of God. You know, God speaks to us. Right? You think they can go home and say, God, we can take this house because you're in this thing. The God we serve is alive and He still speaks to us. And it's important that we understand that what He's saying to you and to me, we need to place in context with what He's saying to us. We can't understand the instruction I'm getting if I don't understand the instruction we're getting. If I'm in Jericho, or not in Jericho, walking around Jericho, I'm not going to understand the instruction that Joshua gives me in my role in walking around this thing. If I don't understand, what is the big plan? What are we all doing together? Oh, we're all doing, okay, so that makes sense why I need to do this. Because my doing this is going to help us all to do that. One of the reasons we're coming together on camp. Let's come together and understand what is God saying to us. How can we all together, God, now I understand what you've been saying to me for the last 3 months. Didn't make sense, but all of a sudden it's snapping into place. And I want to encourage us that in this week and obviously in our lives going forward, it's so important that we endeavor to hear the voice of God. Matthew 4 verse 4, Luke 4 verse 4 says the same thing. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Continuous present tense, continuing to go out of God's mouth. Not dead one day, go out of His mouth, but that rhema word, that living word, that word that shapes and speaks to us, and that word that in our situation gives us answers. And I believe we're here because we want to be obedient, and so kind of I started with that. It's important that we understand obedience, but obviously we can't be obedient if we don't know what we're being obedient to. So this evening, just a couple of tips, just a couple of ideas. For those of you who can't make it on the camp, you know what God's telling us? God's telling us we need to be more of a family. We're growing in that. We're getting some stuff right, some stuff not right. We're getting it. Becoming a family. Everything God's saying to us is going to make sense in the context of us becoming a family. And so much of how God speaks is going to be so alive and so true in our lives as we continue to seek a purpose together. So those are just 5 points. Obviously, I said there are 1,000 things one can say about hearing the voice of God. The most important, it's a relationship and He still speaks to us. You're going to learn to hear His voice. You're going to know it better and better as time goes on. And like me, you're going to miss it a couple of times. And you know that's okay. I would rather be disobedient. Let me say that other. I would rather be wrong in trying to be obedient than wrong in being too afraid to be obedient. Does that make sense? if I'm going to make a mistake, I'd rather going to make the mistake, say, God, I think you're saying this, I'm going to do it because I'm trying to be obedient, than not do it because I'm not quite sure. Not a spirit of fear. God looks down and I think God says, no, Philip, you completely missed it. It's okay because you're wanting to be obedient. That's why you missed it. This is, sorry, God, dumb, clueless me. Next time I'll get that right. God says, it's fine. At least you're trying. Your heart's in the right place. Amen. Can we stand this afternoon and ask the band to come back up again? I'm not going to make a big altar call tonight. I just want to pray a simple prayer for all of us. Then if you're here this evening and you need prayer on anything, whatever it may be, please come forward at the end. Specifically, if this is such a wrestle for you to hear the word of God, you just have 1,000 different voices coming in and out of your ears at all times. You need to just quiet those. We want to anoint your ears with you for you to hear God's voice. Can we bow our heads together? Father, I want to thank you for these incredibly special people here tonight. God, thank you for the way in which you love us. The way in which Jesus, you came down to earth from heaven. And you gave yourself. You died upon the cross so that we can have life and life in abundance. There's nothing we can do to earn that, God. There's nothing we can do to deserve it. You've already done it. And God, our response to that is we want to be obedient. We know we can only love you because you first loved us. We want to be obedient to your statutes, to your law, to your written word, God, but also to your living word. A prophetic obedience as you speak in times and circumstances. Lord, we acknowledge you. We realize, God, we can't be obedient if we can't hear your voice. So we come this afternoon, Lord, with a simple prayer. Lord, that we would hear your voice. Lord, that you would touch our ears. That hearing we would hear. Seeing we will see. That we will know, God, what you are saying. That there will not be confusion. That there will not be 1,000 other voices. And right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just still every other voice that seeks to confuse your voice. Lord, that we wouldn't look to the storm and the fire and the earthquake and the wind. We would learn to know that still small voice, because you are so incredibly faithful to speak to us. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's anyone here, you need to meet Jesus. You've heard much about him and you've maybe even been to church. Maybe it's your first time to church. Maybe you've been your whole life. You don't have a living relationship where you hear God speak. You've never had that encounter where your life has been transformed as you've met Christ. I'm going to hand over to the band now. We're going to continue worshiping. I want to encourage you, if that's you, please come forward right to the front in the middle here. As we start singing, straight away come to the front. I would so love to pray with you to meet Jesus. Anyone else who needs prayer? You're welcome to come forward as we enter into just a time of worship. We'd love to pray with you, whatever your prayer request may be. If you want to just hang around in the presence of the Lord, feel free to do that. If you need to leave, you're welcome to leave as well. There's coffee and tea outside. If you can, hang around. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. If you still want to register for the camp, you can do that quickly. Amen. God bless you. Have an incredibly special week. If you need to find out about a small group, you can ask at the back outside as well. And I'll see you on Friday night at the camp. Amen. Have a fantastic week.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.